Hello, lovely people out there. If you were looking for a bookish podcast to listen to, then congratulations, you have found one. I am speaking to you from beautiful Berlin today, and I'm breaking my no English rule to do it. You're welcome. Let's get started. That intro was my bad attempt at giving you guys a glimpse of what it's like listening to David Spade's audiobook, A Polaroid Guy in a Snapchat World. As per the title of this episode, this will be a freeform episode. I have no script, but I have some bullets here, and we're going to touch on three different aspects of David Spade's performance in his audiobook today. Let's get into it. So the intro of this podcast is going to be where I found out about this audiobook, which embarrassingly enough was on Ellen. I was watching Ellen on YouTube and David Spade came up. I love David Spade. He's from Arizona, just like me, and he has a lot of really hilarious things to say that are pretty relatable to me, especially in terms of where we both grew up. I decided to get the audiobook because there was a discount on Audible that I was able to get. This episode is not sponsored, by the way. I'm going to have to probably repeat that tons of times, but it's not sponsored. And I decided to buy it and listen to it. It's about 6 hours long, and it's only an audiobook. There's no book, there's no ebook. It's only his performance of this novel, which is very interesting. It's a new performance art type thing. The first bullet we're going to get into is humor. My question to start off this episode really is the seed of all humor pain? I think in his book, in David Spade's book, a lot of his humor is derived from pain and the different sorts of embarrassments and little things that he experienced when he was growing up, especially, and now in terms of, he talks a lot about how he is not having great luck with his love life, and I think a lot of that is pain. I'm not sure how productive that sort of humor is. It's certainly very entertaining, but I think a lot of books in general, as I've said before on this show, the importance and significance of books is where they meet you in terms of you and your life's journey. And as I'm here in Berlin, I was listening to this podcast just before on the plane. I finished it on the plane when I was coming here, and I realized that Berlin is just such a beautiful city, and it has all of these like little memorials and things to think about as you're walking and living your life here. And I'm not sure that this is the best time for me to encounter an audiobook that has humor that's derived from pain. And I think a lot of times also David Spade in this book gets his message across with a veil of humor, which is very important because we have authors like Joseph Conrad, for example, or the Bronte sisters, I'll mention them later. They all had very direct methods of getting their messages across. Conrad, certainly with imperialism and with his politics, especially in London in his earlier novels, and the Brontes also with this very direct sort of, this is our conflict, this is our resolution sort of thing. But David Spade really has every little bit of information that he wants to put out across, he hides it in a joke. And I think this is pretty productive for him in a way. And it's a very unique style for him. I think, honestly, the worst thing that I could say about the audiobook in this category is that his style is so unique and so typified that it becomes a bit predictable after a few chapters. But honestly, that's not so harsh a criticism, especially considering the amount of things I could have said about especially other humor audiobooks. Also, his humor, while we're still in this category, is a bit raunchy for my tastes. I'm pretty conservative in terms of what I like to read and listen to, and he definitely had some stories that were a bit over the line for me. I did, however, really enjoy one of his stories about the time he got crabs, which is, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on a PG podcast, but that was hilarious. And if you end up listening to the audiobook, I would recommend just skipping to that chapter and then going back. So the next category is performance. We are experiencing in the modern world with all this technology and whatnot, especially with books and the fact that books are not the only available form of reading nowadays. We're experiencing this really new way of telling and performing a story, and of course, the question for us is that method effective for his purpose? And I think, yeah, it's effective for David Spade's purpose because I would have definitely, this book would have been more of a coffee table book if it was written. I don't think it would have been as eminently readable. I definitely binged David Spade's audiobook because of the way that he performs it and tells it. And it was really inspiring to me as, you know, someone who's really invested in the audio arts as well to listen to his book. And I was naturally, you know, kind of taking notes. He did a lot with ASMR, which I obviously won't start doing, but he did a lot with ASMR and with different voices, and he was really great at telling his story in his voice, which was something that I think that a lot of podcasters can glean from. Another question, is this a book? And I think, yes, I would consider this a book, even though it is only an audio form. It's an audiobook, naturally. I'd probably consider under either the humor or the autobiography category just because it kind of reminds me of one of David Sedaris's books. Those are characterized as humor, memoir, perhaps, and the autobiography part. He has another book out, David Spade does, and I think it's a written book. And also, he does narrate it, and I think that one is more so an autobiography than this one because this one is just really a snapshot, as per the title, of some of his things that he's been thinking about in the modern world. I love also, in terms of performance and perspective, the way that he breaks the fourth wall. He does this in very interesting ways, usually his fourth wall breakages are quite sudden and very unpredictable, and he's quite personable with the way that he does it. I mean, he does call the readers like idiots and stuff half the time, which is very strange. And as someone who reads a lot of books, I don't personally encounter that a lot, so that was a very demonstrative aspect of his performance, I think, demonstrative of his comfortableness with his style and his audience. And then the last category here is lasting effects. Does the book stick with me? Or the reader, rather? I think yes. I didn't get the sense really that he wanted to accomplish something particularly lasting. I think he did want to get this book out there for various reasons. However, I'm not sure it's a trend that many people are going to latch onto this only audiobook format. He was sponsored by Audible to do this, and I'm not sure if it was his idea or if the brand approached him first, but the final product I think was definitely something that I was glad that I latched onto and was able to review on our show. I wanted to note lastly that perhaps this might resonate with me more because of the reason that I mentioned earlier in the episode, because David Spade grew up in Arizona and he performed in Las Vegas, and I also grew up in Arizona and I have family in Vegas, so a ton of his stories had a very important visual effect for me. They had this kind of immediate sensibility, whereas someone who hasn't had the same life experience as me perhaps wouldn't have had that. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about Audible in general. This is obviously not sponsored. I said that before, but I wanted to repeat it again. So I've gone on and off from having an Audible subscription for a few years now, and basically, whether or not I have a subscription comes down to the cost of both my time and money. Is it worth it? And when there are these really great sales and values for being an Audible member, like I remember a few months ago, there was a period of 3 months where the membership was $4.95 as opposed to $14.95 a month. And I absolutely jumped on that because that meant it was worth it for me. I could get 3 books for essentially $15, which is something that doesn't come around often. So sometimes the values for being an Audible member makes it worth it, and other times it isn't worth it, and it wasn't worth it for me. I remember after that 3-month deal, I didn't have an Audible membership for about 8 months, and I have one now because it's worth it again. So from a few episodes ago, you can probably pick up that I am in the market for a Kindle right now. Ooh. Because I've decided to do some world traveling in that aspect. That I really like about the Amazon Kindle system in general is that you can switch the Kindle book to the audiobook while you're reading. So that would be really valuable for me because I sort of loathe changing mindsets between audiobooks and physical books or books. When, for example, I'm on the train and I'm reading my physical book, and then when I get off the train and I'm walking and I'm listening to a different audiobook, I kind of loathe that experience. So I'm looking forward to getting a Kindle so that I can experience that and tell you guys all about it. And then this book in general, it's really, as I mentioned before, one of the first of its kind to do this. And I wanted to mention that when I first encountered audiobooks, I really looked down on them, but now as I've experienced more and more of them, I've learned that something like Wuthering Heights narrated from someone with the accent that the Brontes would have had, or something like David Spade's audiobook, Performance Niche, these things are very cool and do add a lot to the world of literature. So if you, like my past self, look down on audiobooks, I would consider giving them another try, especially a book like the Wuthering Heights one I mentioned, or Shakespeare, for example, or this David Spade experiment, to kind of reroute your opinions. In terms of our housekeeping for this podcast, I found a really wonderful Joan Didion book of interviews. It's in German, and I'm in the midst of reading it. I'll put it on the list of Didion books on our website. And we're also going to be reviewing Run River. I'll be reading that in the next few weeks. And I'm actually going to be reading the audiobook that's narrated by Holly Crate for that, so you guys can follow along with me if you want to read all about Run River and read the actual Run River by Joan Didion before we review it. And also, lastly, next week's episode is going to be on how I read my first book in German, all about reading books in other languages and finishing them. That last part, finishing them, is very important. So I'm going to explain all about my experience. If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to hear more from me, there is an episode of DH&I for everyone, so I'd recommend checking out our back catalog of episodes. 2019 is the year of Didion, so if you'd like to follow along in my quest to read Joan Didion's collective works or learn more about the movement to bring lit back to people, everything can be found at didionandhawthorne.blueberry.net, and remember that blueberry is spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. Now you can also follow the show on Twitter with @DidionIn, 2 N's total. I'll be posting about new lit releases, reading lists, and of course the new projects and episodes relating to DH&I. Still there? One more thing then. Remember that leaving a comment or a review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or any other Guilty Pleasure podcast platform helps leverage the show so that other literature enthusiasts can find the community. In other words, it helps a ton. Auf Wiederhören!